Amen. Thank you for that good song. You got the talent, I'll say that. I wish I could do that. I'd charge for it, though, and I wouldn't get. Well, it's good to be here this morning. I hope the Lord will bless you today and give you help. I feel like the old boy that, well, I won't tell all of that thing about his being the last resort, but I got a call from somebody a good while back wanting me to see if I could take your place on that afternoon on service at Channel 39, I believe it is, in Fulton. And I said, yeah. He said, well, I tried to call so-and-so, and I couldn't find them, so I called you. I said, okay. So I introduced myself when I got up there over the TV. I said, they couldn't find anybody else, so I introduced, my name is Brother Last Resort. So I'm like here, when Brother Don can't find anybody else, he'll holler at me. I'm Last Resort. Glad to meet you strangers. I haven't seen some of you before. But I'm going to take that back. Brother Donald and I have been close friends for a long time. And I'm glad to own him as a friend. Friends are getting scarce these days. Close friends are. You tell him we said we're praying for him. Yeah, he knows that. But we haven't forgot him this morning. And he'll be back tonight. He said he hoped he could. We won't be back tonight. But we hope to see you. And I'll say it like this. I like to encourage my wife alone, you know. Anybody that has to live with me needs to be encouraged. I understand that. But the other night, we'd gone to bed, and I turned the light out, and I said, I sure hope you'll be here in the morning when I awake. I don't know if she knew what I was talking about or not. And I said, the reason I said that was, if you're not here, I know I missed the rapture. So, see, I was trying to give her some encouragement because I'm pretty sure she's going out. And I'm pretty sure I am. Are you pretty sure you are? Praise the Lord. That's one thing that's our blessed hope, according to the Word of God, is not in Washington, but in heaven and his coming here. So I appreciate the opportunity. It's always like coming home here, and we enjoy you folks' company. I feel at ease when I'm with y'all. I have preached at a few places I was very uncomfortable and sure did wish the time would fly by. You ever heard me preach a short sermon? That was one of them when I was in that situation, I guess. I'm guilty. I'm just human as you are. But we all want to hear from the Lord, and I hope today that God will speak to our hearts. It's my heart's desire as a preacher to be a channel through which God might reach through and reach somebody with a precious word that he's given us to say. It's all of God, all of him. We are nothing without him and can do nothing. But oh, how wonderful it is to know that he's present and that he loves you and he loves me and he loves us and he knows how to bless us. I want to read a couple of verses out of First Peter in just a little bit, Second Peter, that is, chapter 1, if you mind turning there after I pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence again this morning, we want to thank you for inviting us to the throne of grace, for hearing our prayer and answering prayer today. And Lord, you promised grace and mercy to us through the day, because you said that if we would come to thy throne, that's where we'd find that grace and mercy. We've come in Jesus' sweet precious name. Help us to pray, Lord. Help us today to preach thy precious word. Give us the words to say, Lord, I pray. Anoint us, I pray, with thy Holy Spirit. Anoint this service today. Anoint your word. Bless your people. There's one in this audience this morning that may be facing some hard trials and troubles, and they need a special touch. I pray that you'd help them and encourage them. There's one in this service this morning that's not saved, never come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Speak to them, Lord. Convict them and convince them and convert them, if thy will, Lord, please. This is your place, your service. We're your servants. Help us, Lord. And Lord, I plead again this morning the shed blood of Jesus and the power that's in the name of Jesus against the demons of hell. Make this place off limits, Lord. May they not hinder us or be an object in the path of your touching and bringing people to a knowledge of thee and of thy truth. Have thy own way, Lord, and we'll thank you the best we know how in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. First Peter, I want to talk to you about it. It's a very, very simple. And I know that you've heard it before and it's on your mind a lot of times about different things and awfully hard to forget some things and comes across your mind things you wish you could forget. But there are some things that come along, you know, that we don't want to forget. And there's some things that the devil puts in our mind to confuse us, trouble us, make us doubt, worry, and all of that. But there's some things I believe that God puts in our mind because he wants us to be reminded of him. So if I had a title for this message, it would be, Remind Me, O Lord. Somebody wrote a song about that sometime another years ago, and it's still most of it is a good song. It may be a few words that need rearranging or changing, but I want you to listen to this carefully, if you will, in 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 12. Now, this is God telling Peter to write this. Peter is writing what God told him to put here, and this is as if God is speaking to you and to me. And he said, Peter, write it like this, verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Now think on that verse with me a minute while we try to ease into the message. He said, I want you to remember these things. Now, if God wants you to remember something, that's serious business. He said, don't be negligent now and bypass them. So you have to be very careful when you say, I wish I could forget such and such. But be careful when you say, I don't want to hear it or think about it anymore and don't want anybody to remind me of it. But you see, when a preacher preaches, he preaches, if he preaches the Word of God, it's going to be some things that you don't want to hear. It's going to be some things you don't want to be reminded of. It's going to be some things that God will use to strengthen you and encourage you if you are reminded. So he says here, be established in the present truth, which are these things that God wants us to hear. Now, verse 13, God said, Peter, write this down. Yes, I think it is meet. That word means fit. I think it is meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, to stir you up. Not just sit there when Peter was preaching. He said to those folks, he said, I don't want you to sit here and try to put these things out of your mind and close your mind to it. I want you to open up your mind and think seriously about what God says in his precious word. Now, I want to give you a few thoughts here. If you would please and think with me. Remind me, O Lord. In Ephesians chapter 2, There's a couple of verses there that I want to read in just a minute, and I'm trying to think and talk at the same time, and it's hard for me to do anything like that, but let me get these things in my mind that I want to say, trusted God to give them to me. You see, God has ways of reminding us through His providence, by His providence. And I can say it like something else along that way is this. I am a firm, sold-out believer in the providence of God. You see, God works in ways that we don't understand at times. And God works in ways that we try to figure out, and ways that He is bringing things together for our benefit to help us and to teach us. And a lot of these things happen when we're asleep at night. God is doing things for us in helping us. I believe it's by the providence of God that you're in church this morning. I believe that somehow, in some way, that God made it possible for us to be here today. Because there's a lot of folks that are not in church today that ought to be. But God has some there for a reason, and God has something He wants all of us to get from His Word. So, having said that, I want to mention about two or three or four things, whatever, that I want God to remind me of. I want Him first to remind me of where He brought me from. Now, would you stop and think where God brought you from this morning? Well, think with me along this line. I want to look back and think about when I was a sinner, lost without God. I was on the road to hell without any hope. And so God lifted me and brought me out of a pit of sin. Now I want you to think carefully with me. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 12, if you will, please, and think with me on this. Ephesians 2, and we'll look at verse 11. Now God says here to you and to me, to we who are saved, wherefore remember, there's that word, He wants us to remember, that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. And let me clear that up. You see, the Word of God, God used the Apostle Paul to write about 14 of these books that has all the doctrine in them that He wants to teach us. The Gentiles at one time knew not God. He came, Jesus came to His own people, the Jews, but the Jews received Him not. But here, He's calling the Jews the Jews the circumcised, the Gentiles the uncircumcised. And that simply means it brings in the covenant about which God made with Abraham. But listen to what He says here now in the next verse or two. Verse number 12. That at that time, when you were lost, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God. Do you know anybody today in the physical realm that has terminal cancer or something and the doctor said there is no hope whatsoever, it's just a matter of days? Then that's a picture that I can put in my mind how it would be if I just had a few days to live. Nothing could be done for me to help me, to raise me up. How awful, how terrible that seems to be. But on the other hand, if you were a person that has never been saved, you're on the road to hell. As far as you know, you have no hope, no way that you can escape hell. That would be a worse thing, and that would be the worst thing you could ever know. And by the way, there are multiplied millions upon this earth today, and especially in the United States, that know not God, won't listen to the Bible, care nothing about going to church. They don't know anything about God. They have no hope whatsoever of going to heaven. Besides, they're going to hell. Why don't they have any hope? Most of them had the opportunity to hear, but they won't hear. But listen carefully now. You and I, who are saved this morning, thank God He came our way, gave us hope, and we accepted and received that hope and trusted in Christ. Now, listen here, if you will, in the chapter number 13. But now, hallelujah. Somebody said it like this, God put it in, and He sure did. We had no hope, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to show you where God brought me out of. I'll tell you, hey, in the same pit of sin that God pulled me out of is the pit that all sinners are in, all unsaved people are in. I don't care if you raise a little girl up, no offense now, listen carefully, or a little boy up from childhood and take them to Sunday school and to church, they're SAFE all that time. If they die, they'll go to heaven. They're not responsible. But there's coming a time as they grow up, as they begin to hear what's being taught, that they'll be responsible. God revealed to them that they need to be saved. They'll have the opportunity. But I want to tell you something. They may never taste liquor. They may never be on a dance floor. They may never smoke a cigarette, chew tobacco, go to the casino. They may never do anything along that line. May be as clean as you think they can be. But until that time comes, they're safe. But when God convicts them, they're just as dirty as they can be. They're in the same pit that you've been in. They're in the same pit that I am, that I've been in. And God one day reached down into that pit when Jesus came by, lifted me up out of the slum of that awful place, washed me in the blood, made me whole, put my feet on a solid rock, established my going, and put something in my heart that I never had before called love. Remind me, Lord, I go back all time, every morning just about when I get up and I'm praying, I go back to that night down yonder when the Holy Spirit brought me to Jesus and convicted me and revealed to me that I was lost and going to hell, had no hope because I couldn't save myself. I was already a church member, had been lost for 11 years after being baptized. But He made it known to me that night that I was in sin, in that pit of corruption. Jesus passed by, thank God, that night. Spoke to my heart. And I want to read you where He brought me from. It's found in Isaiah chapter 38. I've used this a lot of times. And boy, this verse of Scripture here, I know that Brother Bruce has led the song many times, no doubt here. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. I couldn't get out of that pit because it's too deep. I didn't have a ladder long enough to reach to the bottom. Nobody come by that could help me. But Jesus did. Now listen to this. Isaiah 38:17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. In other words, I had no peace. Bible says there's no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. He said, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou There's that word again. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. See, I didn't make all that up. That's where we were. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Boy, sometimes I get to thinking about that. I pray a lot. Lord, thank you for not letting me die while I was lost. I remember a few times in my life, it would just seem like come that close to getting killed or dying maybe. Oh, Lord, thank you. I'd been in hell now for about 60 years or 50 years, burning, screaming, crying, pleading, but there's no way out. Eternal hellfire has one entrance, but it has no exit. Once in, never out. He lifted me. Remind me, Lord, that I, as a sinner, was in the pit of corruption, and I've been delivered. But remind me also, when I got saved, after I got saved, you've lifted me several times out of another pit, a pit of sorrow, a pit of corruption, or not corruption, but a pit of sorrow and suffering, and I'll put it like this, you've lifted me out of pitiful situations. Now, I know I'm not talking to any of you who ever had any trouble. You know, some folks act like they've never had any trouble, never had any problems. Everything's always gone well. Well, that's good. I love to meet people that has a smile and an expression on their face that everything's fine. But I want to tell you, along the way, as a child of God, the road has some rough parts in it. There's hills to climb. There's problems to solve. There's hurting and sorrow along the way. There'll be situations that you don't know why you're in them, and you don't know why that God is doing this, and you don't know why it lets you hurt so. Maybe some of your close loved ones that has gone astray, and you don't know what to do. You can't help them. One thing right after another. Family problems. Oh, dear Lord, there's so many families that are tore up today. They don't know what to do and all. And there's financial problems, and you don't know how to handle them. And you don't know what to do about these things. I hate to add a little humor here, but I've told this before. One night we were visiting from the church, I believe Brother Ernest is with me. I'm trying to think here. Brother Ernest is brother. We went out visiting, and here was this young couple. Hadn't been married too long, and we stopped at their house and talked with them a few minutes, and I asked them about the Lord being saved and all. And I said, now, where do you go to church at? And he said, First National Bank. He said, no, wait a minute, forgive me. He said, I had a note there coming due to this week, and I don't have any way to pay it. And that's all that's been on my mind all day. That's well, I can understand that. I've been along that line too, you see. Bogged down with things in some pitiful situations that you don't know how to get out of them. You ever been there? Well, there along the road, most of us will meet those situations along the way. Hospitals. I've been to a hospital and made visits a lot of times by people who were suffering physically. But some of them were suffering spiritually or mentally or a lot of different ways. Heartbroken, sad. I think about what the Word of God says in when Israel, the southern kingdom, part of them, had been captured, carried over into Babylon and made slaves over there. I think about in Psalm chapter 137, the Word of God says, and they were there encamping under a willow tree, so to speak, and there came one of the Babylonians alone and said to them, they looked sad. They looked like they were oppressed, down and out, discouraged. Now think with me just a minute. And he said to them, sing us a song of Zion. In other words, cheer up. Let me hear you sing them songs you used to sing when you was back over there in the so-called land of the Lord. And one of them cried out, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? Does that say anything to you? Does that remind you maybe of someone, or do you, if you've been in a situation when you once were cheerful, you were in church and everything seemed to be going pretty good, you loved the Lord, it seems, and all, but now you've got cold, things have happened to put your mind on other things, and you laid the Bible down for a while, and you got discouraged, and now you can't sing the songs that you used to sing in church with any joy. You can't go to church and have the peace that you once had. You've got cold and indifferent here for a short while. And folks look at you and wonder what's happened to them. What in the world has happened? That's being in a pitiful situation. I, as a preacher one time, got so down and out and discouraged, I said, Lord, I think I'm just going to have to quit. I threw the towel in, so to speak. I believe it's all over. You know something? Talking about the providence of God and the way that he worked that, it wouldn't but a short time, like a day or two. He said, I'm not through with you. Pick the towel up. God brightened my day and began to do things to help me. He has pulled me out and lifted me out of some pitiful situation as a child of his. And now, when he does that, I want him to remind me over and over again. If he got me out of this one, he can get me out of this one. If he can help me here, he can help me here. If he can give me comfort that's in my mind and instill within me a hope that everything's going to work out because God is in it. And the thing about it is, if God works it out, it'll be worked out right. Oh, remind me, O Lord, of the pit of sin I was in, of the pitiful situations. Now, I want to give you something. We'll read you a verse of Scripture. We've got a song that I've heard old Lester Roloff sang it over his program years ago. The only way that could be sung was the way he sang it, I thought. And I've got it in the fly leaf of my Bible, that song. His way with thee. Walking down that road, Lord, why? Why this heartache? Why are things like this? I'm so troubled. I don't know what to say to anybody. You see, I was preaching one time at a Bible conference, and I was preaching to preachers, and I was talking about preachers sometimes. We have to be, I don't know the word to use. I didn't want to use the wrong word, but we have to be great pretenders, I think I said. Somebody said, what do you mean a great pretender? Because I've been called to the hospital as a preacher, and I'm supposed to have a smile on my face. If you ever try to help anybody, don't let them know that you're in the worst shape than they are, or you won't help them. And I said, we have to be great pretenders. And when we're called out to help somebody, I've been to the hospital at times, our funeral homes, when I was down and out, discouraged. I didn't feel spiritual at all, but I was called to help pray for somebody, some family. And I had to make out like things was all right. But I want to give you this part of this verse of Scripture. I believe it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 33 and verse 25. I've got it marked right here. Let me make sure this will help you. It's in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25. I'm just going to give you an excerpt from it. I'm going to give you a little brief statement, a part of that verse there, I believe, that'll be helpful to you. Don't forget where God's at now. And I think that part says, as thy day, as thy strength will be. Read it there. You got it.
Thy hues shall be iron and brass, and as thy day, so shall thy strength be.
As thy day, so shall thy strength be. Is that not a great promise? But you see, you don't know what tomorrow brings. And I don't even know what today will be like the rest of the day. I do know that whatever my need will be, His strength will be there for me to stand it if I look to Him. You've been through that. All of you have been through this thing. Brother Ellis back there, I'm sure, when he was in Canada, was it, Brother Ellis, where you had surgery for you on your head and all? Well, there are a lot of folks didn't think you'd make that. I don't know how you felt. And boy, I hesitate to say it, but when Brother Buddy back there and Mavis lost their son, same age as my oldest son, I didn't know the sufferings they were going through. I wanted to feel like it, but I just couldn't understand it. But I know there was some horrible things going through their mind about, Lord, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did that happen? And when these things come to happen, there's always that initial shock. Bad news. You don't get over it right quick. Sometimes it's a progressive thing. But you can remember day by day by day, as thy strength, as thy day is, thy strength shall be. That's encouraged me a lot of times, because sometimes I get up in the morning, Lord, thank you, but help me today. So remind me, dear Lord. Second thing I want the Lord to remind me of, and I'll try to hurry with this, why you put me here. I'm not necessarily talking about Rocky Springs this morning, but wherever I'm at, why did He put me in this world? But by the grace of God, we could be heathens in Africa. We could be in a foreign world starving to death with no help. Why am I here? Why did He put you here? Let me read you a verse of Scripture. Psalms 106 and verse 8. He saved them from His name's sake, that He might make known His mighty power. That's why He's got us here, for His name's sake. Why are you called a Christian? Because you're named after Christ. Christian. Why are we here on this earth where we are doing what we're doing for the sake of the Lord? For His honor and glory. I'm not going to read this, but in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, He said, we are children of God. He says, you've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. He goes on to tell us to glorify God in all of that. Honor Him. Live for Him. Serve Him. And trust Him. And always be available. See, I don't know who's going to call me to come and preach. Sometimes it's just a lot of time in between. Nobody calls. But I have to say, Lord, if you do call, I want to be available and usable. And I need your strength to keep me that way. I need courage to stay that way, and I need help. And so I have to depend on that. That's why God called us. God called you. Whoever you are this morning, if you're a child of God, God has called you to honor Him, trust Him, be obedient to Him, and to be usable when He gives you the opportunity. Why did He put me here? To live for Him. That's why. What could be a greater reason for God to put us here than just to live for Him? Somebody, you know, I told my pastor the other night, we were standing talking about service and talked about one or two things, and hey, I'm for a Christian. I believe a child of God ought to look right, dress right, fit white, and all of that. I believe all of that. But I'm going to tell you what I told him also. a person may not do what along that line exactly like they ought to in their dressing and their appearance and all of that. But getting all that done, if a person is lost, getting all that done is not going to clean them up and save them. And getting all that done is not going to make them, or I should, well, let me just skip along thing like this. If you want to know the Christian life, if you think it's hard and you think you ought to go strictly according to this rule, that rule, and that rule, may the Lord help you. But I'm going to give you the verse of Scripture that will tell you how to live the Christian life. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live by faith, I live by faith in Christ. Christ living in you is the Christian life, and your responsibility and mine, when God reveals to us by His Holy Spirit to change something here, to change something here, then we need to be willing to adjust to that and do what He says. I get on several things here. I get on dress pants for women. I don't believe you ought to wear them. That's man clothes. I get on about a lot of things, but I'm not your pastor. And I don't know that a lot of folks don't agree with me on what I say. But if you'll be obedient to the Lord, and let Christ direct you as the Holy Spirit of His will, things will work out. He'll work you out, and you'll be fit to do what He called you to do. Remind me, O Lord, why you called me here. One other thing or two. Another thing, remind me, Lord, how you've blessed me. I know this simple sermon here along this line, but I bet we could have a good testimonial service here. If you just be honest with God and you say, I'm going to do what the Lord says, I'm going to say what the Lord wants me to say, I bet every saved person in this house would be willing to stand up and say what the Lord has done for them. You say, no, not me, I'm too backward. I said, if you would be willing to do what God said for you to do. Why would you want to be ashamed? Why? You're not bragging on yourself when you said, I want to say thank God for saving my soul. Thank the dear Lord for all the provisions He's made. He gave me the clothes I've got on. He fed me this morning. I expect to go home and eat some more. He gave me a good wife. He gave me children. He gave me health. Give me a car to ride in. Oh, I don't mean that I own all these things. There are some debts involved, you know, along the way and all of that. But look what He done for us. I want Him to remind me of the times when I didn't have anything hardly. When times when I couldn't, I just couldn't do this or that because. Remind me, Lord, and He does. He sure does. But what did I do when He reminds me? Thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. Everything I have is yours. I don't own a thing. Thank you for letting me use them. Thank you for the clothes. I bet you I've been given 5 or 6 suits. Somebody come along. I got this one down at Dirt Cheap for $7. But it don't matter to me. It wears just as good as that one does you. I'm not ashamed. Folks, I'm not ashamed of where I've been. My mom and papa were, poor as they could be. Own nothing along the way except what God put in your lap. I'm not ashamed of Mama and Papa. God bless their heart. I'm not ashamed to be called by their name. I'm not ashamed to tell folks where I've been along the way. I'm just thankful for what God's done for me. Thank you, Lord. But I'm going to close it out and say one other thing. Remind me, Lord, not only where you brought me from, but remind me where I'm headed. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. If you're not saved, dear friend, anybody in this building has never come. Let me show you something now. In order to be saved, it's not getting in trouble with your wife or your husband and getting caught and asking them to forgive you. That won't save you. It's not begging and pleading. It's coming to the point in your life when you know for sure that if you died, you'd go to hell. Know for sure that you're lost. Know for sure that you can't do anything to save yourself. But when the Spirit of God makes it known to you that Jesus died for you, shed His blood to pay your sin debt, to wash you and to cleanse you, spiritually speaking, that He is wont to save you right now. If you'll just say from your heart, Lord, I'm not saved and now I know it. I don't want to go to hell. Please come into my heart to save me. Forgive me. You don't have to say it just like that. I'm just telling you that this has to happen in you in order to be saved. And then the change, He doesn't overhaul you. He saves you completely, makes a new person out of you. You then have the love of God in you that you can love. You can do things you haven't done before. You will enjoy things that you haven't enjoyed before. Church will take on a different meaning to you. The Word of God's altogether different. And all like that. Let me say it like this too. I've had folks to come to the altar and cry and plead, and I've got down and talked with them. I want to be saved. I say, is there any reservation between you and God and things like that? But let me remind you this. If God wants to save you a million times more than you want to be saved, would you have to beg Him? Leaving a little thought with you, would you really have to beg Him if He wants to save you? No, sir. Surrender. Here I am, Lord. Save me. From your heart, Word of God says you believe and receive. But then when you're saved, boy, I preached in a nursing home. I've seen different faces and expressions and different sayings and all in there. But boy, some of those folks are right at the verge of going home, right close to going home, and they know that. Some don't know that. And they're not able. But if you ever get that in your mind, that heaven will be worth it all that you've experienced on this earth. Heaven is one heartbeat away. You could die in your seat right where you're sitting this morning before we give the invitation. Where would you be? Another thing, you may not, but where will you be a million years from now? Are you thankful? Oh, remind me, dear Lord, where you brought me from, what I'm doing here, where I'm headed. Let's have an invitational hymn, Brother Bruce. If the Lord speaks to your heart, let me say this. If you're not saved and you want to be saved, I can't get you saved. I've already told you how you can be saved. Call upon the Lord from your heart and trust Him. Believe in Him. If you are saved and God has done some things special for you, instead of standing up and telling about it, if you just want to come right down here to the altar and on your knees, pour your heart out to God with thanksgiving for who you are. Good husband, good wife, precious children, food, clothes, vehicle to ride, house to live in. All of that's worth a whole lot. What number, Bruce?